Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Second down and 10. This one off the hands of Rico Donilon. Picked up by Georgia. Going the other way. DeAndre Baker is gone. Touchdown.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're delighted to welcome in Brad Nessler. He is the lead announcer for the SEC on CBS, and he'll be on the call Saturday when Georgia takes on LSU at 2:30. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
Hey, Brad.
I'm doing good, guys, but you scared me with the theme music because I'm sitting here in my sweats, and I had this vision that I should have my tie and my blazer on, and I got freaked out.
You know, let's talk about Georgia. I can't believe they can be even remotely good after losing, you know, Leonard Floyd and then Roquan Smith to the Bears. I mean, how can they keep going? It seems like we have all their best players.
Yeah, I know you do. They'd like to have those linebackers back. Trust me, fellas. They're still working on trying to replace those, but they're guys like Roquan are pretty hard to replace. And Walter Grant's trying to wear Leonard Floyd's jersey. At least he's got number 84 on, but he's not Leonard Floyd yet. That's for sure.
You know, Brad, we had Vern Lundquist on Monday, and he said he spared you in his book. So I think that's a good thing.
He didn't take any shots at me.
No,
I'm not going to buy it. Then I was going to see just if my name was in there someplace.
He was great to talk to Vern, and we talked about the SEC and kind of where they are this year, and a lot of other things, college football, but. Around here, the big question is one I don't think a lot of people were prepared to ask in October, mid-October, was what does Notre Dame need to do to get into the college football playoff? This did not look like a Notre Dame team. Even after beating Michigan, Brad, I felt like they were lacking something, and they made the change of quarterback to Ian Book. It's made all the difference. How legit do you think the Irish are?
I was talking with a big Notre Dame fan yesterday, and he said that has been the difference. And I asked him also if the other quarterback is still engaged in case they need him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that can go south on you a little bit when you change quarterbacks. So I'm not close enough to the situation, but as close as I can get is I talk to Mike Tirico once in a while about how good they are. And I think they've sort of probably shocked everybody as far as preseason prognosticators are concerned. And all they have to do is keep winning. If they win out, they're in it. I don't care what everybody else does, and it will mess the system up as we have it now. And I don't care how the system is, but it will probably make the expansion playoff a lot quicker than anybody thinks. Because if they make it, there's going to be two conferences out at least. And what if Georgia and Alabama are both undefeated when they play in the SEC championship game? Should that happen, then you got Notre Dame undefeated and Alabama and Georgia undefeated, and the loser of the SEC championship game, are they good enough to still be involved? Then you'd have three conferences out. I know this is hypothetical, but when you start looking at it, it could change the whole way this deal is played out. So I don't know how good Notre Dame is. They're good enough that they're perfect so far, and their schedule, when you look at it, I don't see who's going to beat them.
Alabama and Georgia, obviously 1-2 in the country. I'm looking at the AP Top 25, and Brad, can you separate them? How much better is Bama than the rest? Are they that much better? Is it the quarterback position? How do you separate Bama and Georgia?
Let's put it this way, guys. If I was going to play 7-on-7 with anybody in the country, I'd take Alabama because Tua is legit. There are three sophomore wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, whom I forget, Henry Ruggs, even the freshman, Jalen Waddle, a tight end, Irv Smith. Okay, give me those guys, and then give me seven guys to play defense. I bet I beat you. And that's not even counting the running backs, the two Harrises and Josh Jacobs and those guys. So they're that good on that side of the ball. Are they that good everywhere? No, not as good as Alabama's been in the past. Their defense isn't as good. They don't have, you know, the linebackers they had that just every year you just first-round draft choice. You don't have a Minka Fitzpatrick in the secondary. So, you know, I can look at Alabama and nitpick, but I'd say, you know, let's see who's going to beat them right now. But they're pretty good. And are they that much better than Georgia? I don't know. Georgia hasn't played anybody yet, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not trying to diss the six teams they beat, but they're not that good. So they should have beaten those six teams. But they find out starting this week how good they are when they go to LSU.
How good's LSU? Yeah, because they have that game at home. They play Alabama later in the year at home. They could have a lot to say about this national championship race before it all is said and done.
Absolutely. Even though they lost to Florida, they played pretty well. They just didn't play good enough on offense. And then they had, they've been living the dream of having a turnover ratio of, they were plus nine or something going into last week, and it's plus five now because they threw a couple picks and they fumbled. So, they just were doing everything right. They weren't turning the ball over. They didn't have a lot of penalties. They're just good enough with the ground game that they can make play action for Joe Burrow look a little bit easier. All those things fell apart a little bit against Florida, so we'll see if they regroup it at home. But, I think they're pretty good. I mean, they're a legitimately good 5-1 team, and they're probably ranked about where they deserve to be ranked.
I think it's fascinating what you said here about this idea that if Notre Dame gets in. I always figured if Notre Dame gets in, it meant either Alabama or Georgia doesn't get in. But if Alabama and Georgia actually play that well and it comes down to a very close game, the idea that three conferences could be edged out, I don't know how you can go along with that.
Doesn't it would change the system.
Wouldn't you have to spread out and increase the number of teams in the playoff?
Yeah, I mean, that's I'm just looking 5 weeks ahead, and,
right.
And I'm not even good at this stuff. Gary's way better at this than I am, and the people that think this stuff out, I'm not that great a thinker, but when you sit here as long as I do in my office and you're going over all this stuff, and you go, okay, let's say Georgia and Alabama are still 1-2, on December 3rd, or whatever the date is for, I think it's December 1st because it's my anniversary, I don't want to miss it. December 1st. But they get there, and they're 1-2, and Ohio State, let's say they had lost somewhere, and Clemson maybe dropped one somewhere or something, and Notre Dame's 3, and they're undefeated. I mean, what do you do? And then let's say it's a 30-27 game. I don't care if it's Georgia or Alabama that wins. You might have to go, okay, they both deserve to be there. Notre Dame's got to be there. The rest of the country's going, hey, how about us? I don't know. We'll see.
Brad, Tua is so polished at the quarterback position, and he has seemed to be so flawless and in command that, you look back and there was a lot of speculation preseason, a lot of discussion, but there really was no decision. The decision made itself because of the way he's played. I think Saban has done a nice job of still incorporating Jalen Hurts into the game plan to some degree.
Yep.
But do you think that how impressed have you been with Tua? Is this he the front runner for the Heisman, and is that sustainable?
If he played in the fourth quarters, I think his numbers would be so unbelievable that he would have to. I think he's a front runner right now. Yes, but if he played like an entire game every week, I can't imagine what his numbers would be. He's so intuitive. He sees the field so well. Gary and I compared him a couple weeks ago to Drew Brees, and because Gary and I did so many Purdue games back when we did the Big Ten at ESPN and stuff. He just has a knack of knowing where everybody is on the field, and when he's looking and going through his reads, it's not just like going through the motions, like I'm looking there just because I'm supposed to look there. He can look there and know the other guy is on a streak down the left side, down the right sideline, and the defensive back is thinking, he's not even thinking about coming over here, and he'll throw a rocket. And, I mean, I explained this to somebody the other day. There are guys that just know how to check down, and they just do what the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator tell you to do. If not there, go to this guy. Tua is one of those guys that if it's a tie game and there's somebody on third base and all you need is a sacrifice fly, Tua will hit a home run. He doesn't care about a sacrifice fly. He's going for the juggler. And that's just the way he plays. And it's fun to watch because there aren't many guys that can do it like that.
Florida, we haven't talked about. They seem to be getting into the conversation a little bit. They seem to be on the come. Is that accurate?
Their defense is. Their offense needs work. Felipe Franks is a tough kid, and he's gone through a lot just getting banged around last year and changing coaches and social media. He's telling me, man, social media killed me last year. I said, why don't you not pay attention? Kids are 20 years old, can't do that. Their offense is okay. Their defense is pretty darn good. And they got some guys that if you put them in passing situations, if you put the other team in a passing situation, C.C. Jefferson and Ja'Kai Polite and Jabari Zuniga and Deshaun Joseph, the one linebackers, had an unbelievable game last week against LSU. He was everywhere. So their defense is pretty legit. Their offense needs some work, though. But they're good enough to be in the mix compared to this time a year ago when things were falling apart for them.
Brad Nessler, voice of college football on CBS, the SEC, Georgia at LSU Saturday. He's got the call. Brad, thank you so much. Appreciate
Enjoy
it.
Enjoy Baton Rouge.
You got it, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.